local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Got some news we want to get to, but real quick, as I was kind of thinking about our conversation during the break, Chris, I think what I was trying to articulate is that Keegan Murray, he's doing a lot of the pump faking, and as well as Keegan Murray's shot last season, he doesn't take a lot of contested shots. And I think that that's probably a part of the development that I feel like might be getting missed, right? It's an open three because of the flow offense, and he gets a lot of open threes. Or he pump fakes if somebody's in his face and he gets to the cup, and he's been dunking and doing a lot of things. But as far as that quick trigger and getting shots off that are more contested, right, I feel like that's something that he hasn't really done.
Yeah, I mean, especially from three. He just gets so many open looks that, you know, in the Kings offense, there's so many good shooters that it's a bit of pass up a good shot for a great shot. But we are getting to the point now where, you know, the Kings need three-point shooting. And it gets, especially with, if the other option is De'Aaron Fox taking 12 threes, you're right. I would much rather have Keegan Murray take 12, and I don't care about the quality of them because I just feel more confident in Keegan's 12 than De'Aaron's 12, even though De'Aaron did hit five of them yesterday.
Yeah, like if we look at his development, the shooting off the dribble, the shooting threes off the dribble, the contested three shooting, I think is an area that might be getting overlooked a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think that's where they want him to get better.
Sure.
But he's not really taking
those. This season it's been about, I'm going to get to the cup more, which I think is great too. It's only year two.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, if you're a three-point guy, you can look at it a couple different ways. But if you're a three-point guy, there can be different ways to continue being a three-point guy. In an hour, we will give away Daniel Tosh tickets. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Daniel Tosh at Hard Rock Live April 12th. Hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. One of our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, either Brendan or Frankie, will pick a number, and we will give away those tickets. Like I said, some news to get to here. First piece of news, the Niners have essentially scheduled a surprise media conference with Kyle Shanahan right now. It's going on right now, today
and,
at noon.
As you say that, we get Adam Schefter breaking news. A change in San Francisco. Steve Wilkes is out as 49ers defensive coordinator.
So Belichick is in.
So there it is.
Not true.
So there it is. Steve Wilkes is out as defensive coordinator. He went from in the booth to on the field. People thought they had figured it out. To at home, to in the booth, to on the field, to on the couch.
Yep.
A story of three segments here as Adam Schefter has just broken the news. That didn't take long because the media conference call started at 12, so they basically got connected, made sure everybody was on the call.
Say hi. Is everyone here? Yeah, Steve's gone.
Steve's gone.
Questions?
Do you think this was a fair, and I hate to use the word fair in sports and in life for that matter, but do you think this was fair for Steve Wilkes? Do you think he underperformed that poorly that they couldn't say, let's see? I get their timeline. I get all that. You really think he should have been canned after this season? Was he that bad?
I would say from the outside looking in, it seems a bit harsh, but that's from the outside looking in. Like, I don't know if internally there was a lot of defensive players who were complaining about him. I mean, clearly Kyle had some issues with him. So, you know, if we're just talking performance-based, you read it out. Like, they were the third-best defense in the NFL last year. I wouldn't say that their defense is completely the thing that looked most foreign in the playoffs. Like, their offense looked completely different in the playoffs as well. So you can't really single out the defense there. I mean, they turned over Patrick Mahomes. Like, they got a fumble in the Super Bowl. I just, you know, unless you really just, again, internally, I don't know what plays are being called. I'm not really a football savant in that level, so I can't tell you if Steve Wilkes is just, you know, Nate broke down the cover zero earlier. If it's things like that, I could definitely understand how Kyle Shanahan, who is a perfectionist, who does know a ton about defenses because of how much he knows about offenses, I could see how you know, maybe that would be justification. But for the most part, I see it on the text line here. I think the word is scapegoat completely.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. You know, I'm reading through everything now and just getting the feeling of everybody. And
he was the new guy too.
He was the new guy.
It's kind of the easy one to point out.
Yeah, there are Niner fans that are excited about it. Let's go. I mean, he's not the reason they lost. Does anybody think, 916-339-1140, does anybody think that Steve Wilks is the reason the Niners lost the Super Bowl? Does he get the biggest slice of blame pie?
Where's the special teams coach?
Does he still have a job?
You know, apparently didn't yell Peter enough. Apparently you got guys McLeod thinking it's time to be playmaker instead of just jumping on the ball.
I think Niner fans are delusional. I really do. I mean, I'm looking at these comments, good riddance, let's bleep and go, as if truly it was on. So what is it?
Like
is
they
it
were the Sacramento luck? Kings of, yeah. of football.
Is it bad luck? Is it Patrick Mahomes? Why did you lose? Why did you lose? And
one, it can't, why, how can you say, oh, you know, that's Patrick Mahomes. He's great. Like, he's going to do that to anybody. It doesn't matter what court. And then at the same time say, but this is Steve Wilks' fault. Like, it's either Patrick Mahomes does this to everybody. I'm seeing here in
a response to Tim Kawakami, somebody responded to Tim Kawakami, was this Nick Bosa? Nick Bosa did not seem to be thrilled. I think he brought up something during the playoffs or late in the season. Was it just Nick? We're paying Nick Bosa a lot of money.
Sure,
he doesn't like what Steve Wilks is doing. You know, maybe there was a bit of a I hate to say age gap, but it's possible. Or maybe just maybe it wasn't a good culture fit. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
They got him out of there.
So the question is now, if you're making this seemingly rushed move, I mean, called an emergency press conference. Do they have somebody ready to go? Like, do we think that this was done with the intention of, hey, we have a name or two in mind that we really want for that spot? Or is this something that they just felt like this part has to get done and we'll find somebody else who will do it, but anybody else would be better than the situation that we had?
John Lynch. He steps down from the booth.
That would be
the sideline.
Matt Barrows.
He's like, I want some credit.
Matt Barrows says that Kyle Shanahan has stated the Niners will look both inside and outside the building for Wilkes' replacement. Could it be somebody in the building
Nate,
already?
Any ideas there? Internal?
Internally, no. I don't have any.
Okay.
Anything on that? I think it's going to be.
That's interesting. Right. Sorry to cut you off, but I guess if they would have had somebody internal in mind, why not? Why wouldn't they have brought them in?
Yeah.
Last season?
So this is
or they would have been like Wilkes out, this guy's in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now.
And
yeah,
this
like
is
they did with Belichick.
This is from Matt Maiocco. Just adding some more context. Kyle Shanahan said he will look inside the building as well as outside the organization to bring in a coordinator who has more of a background in the system the 49ers have run since 2017.
What if Saleh's – a lot of people are anti-Saleh as a head coach.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a little reunion, but that's not happening.
He needs to hold me back, guy.
Yeah.
He's not going to get canned now. Way too late.
No, not now.
Yeah.
Not now. There you go. Wilkes was hired a year ago to replace D'Amico Ryans, who became – head coach of the Texans, obviously, just going through everything. If you're just now tuning in, Steve Wilks is out as defensive coordinator. Doesn't really matter what he did throughout the season or what they did in spite of him. Depends on who you ask. It seems like it wasn't a culture fit. It seems like it wasn't a system fit. And to that point, Chris, we can get somebody on tomorrow or maybe even today. I know we have the Kings roundtable as well. How this all kind of went down. Why would you bring somebody in who's not familiar with the system? How many people are familiar with the system that you're running? I'll just go back to my first question. Why would you bring in somebody that's not familiar with the system? And now you're going to look for somebody who knows the system. Yeah, we will definitely get somebody on tomorrow at latest to discuss this because it seems like a weird, weird decision from get-go if you are that quick to move off of him.
Yeah, I'm trying to read here. And yeah, somebody did mention as well the Nick Bosa comments from the other day. Nick Bosa said that the 49ers weren't prepared for the read option the Chiefs used on that game-winning drive.
I saw that.
And yeah, also mentioning that Kyle Shanahan called the timeout in overtime because of that cover zero call. You know, it's really interesting. You know, and here our guy David Lombardi out here saying Steve Wilks, who has a DB coaching background, was brought in to advance their secondary. However, they struggled on the back end with their pass rush this season. And Shanahan, quote, said it was harder than it needed to be.
The defensive season.
Yes. Quote, it was harder than it needed to be.
Wow. They couldn't stand
that
him.
That is crazy. That's crazy pretty damning statement. Comments right there.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to a break. We will continue to discuss the departure of Steve Wilks and where the Niners go next. Don't forget, we'll get back into Kings Talk at 12:30 as we have the Kings Roundtable coming up at 12:30 with Frankie Cardicelli and Brandon Nunes. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Some bad news coming out of Kansas City. Chaos. Shots fired at the end of the Chiefs Super Bowl parade. Police and military personnel just took off inside of Union Station. Trying to keep up with that situation. We will keep you updated on all of that. But pretty sad ending. Looked like everybody was having a great time. So thoughts and prayers go out to everybody involved out there. And we will keep you in the loop on anything that we hear or come across. And if you come across or hear anything, feel free to shoot us a text, 916-339-1140, or on the SAC chat. Continuing the conversation about Steve Wilks and whether or not he was a scapegoat in all of this. You know, some people are saying that he is. And, you know, just yesterday, Shanahan said, I expect all of our coaches back. And today they've lost three assistants and they fired Steve Wilks. And that's what happens when you don't get it done. So you have Ayuk, and I know he kind of walked back things in his, I guess, locker room press conference yesterday. But this is what happens when you don't win. And this is why only one team has gone back to the Super Bowl in the last 30 years. Because a lot of things can happen quickly. Grant Cohn, everybody's favorite Niners media member. Steve Wilks outcoached Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl.
That man just loves you. Oh, man.
We need him on now.
We will definitely get him on.
1,000%
get him on. As this thing continues to break down. Chris, I did want to say this before we get back into Niners talk. The two-minute report did come out. Not sure if you saw that.
Yeah, Brendan was telling me about it in the hallway.
And this is what it says. Booker is drawn into the air on the pump fake towards Sabonis, but sure the was. Resulting contact is marginal and does not affect Sabonis' ability to enter his shooting motion.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, except for the fact that he's climbing all over his back, and maybe because Sabonis is so strong, it like, you know, he just kind of powered through it. It's absolutely excessive contact. I don't understand how you can say that Sabonis forces him into the air. There is contact when Devin Booker is coming down, but it's just not excessive enough. Like, we've seen calls for much, much less. And I think that's the most frustrating thing for me about how games seem to be officiated is there's just not, like, it's almost like what's a catch. It's like, hey, we're going out there and we're playing just backyard football. I know what a catch is just based off of vibes, and I've seen a catch my entire life. It's the same thing with fouls. We're playing street ball. We know that street ball might be a little bit more aggressive than NBA or regulated basketball. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we all know what a foul looks like and feels like. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that line has been blurred for just for soft calls and for aggressive calls. And I don't know what a foul is anymore. Like, it's almost truly like NBA basketball is its own style of basketball.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I've always said, I don't know, you know, you play pickup and certain courts, certain parks you play, offense calls a foul or defense
yes.
calls a foul.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was always funny to me when it would be offense calls a foul, you would get fouled and everybody would stop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they'd get mad and some dude on the other team would say, well, just call the foul if it's a foul. And it's like, brother, if everybody stopped, sure, it's a yes. foul. We all know that it's a foul. Are you just going to keep playing?
Right.
Even though we all know that it's a foul. That's why we all stopped playing. And I think you're spot on with that. Refs just have no idea what they're doing. And they're getting roasted every single night.
Yep.
Okay? And you have people whipping out laptops and really making them look bad. And
2-minute
I don't know,
report helps too, huh?
And
Doesn't it make you feel so much better knowing that something we all know is a foul, they're then telling us yet again it's not a foul?
Right. And the 2-minute report, then you get annoyed when the 2-minute report tells you what you want. You get annoyed when the 2-minute report doesn't tell you what you want. So I don't really know the point of the 2-minute report at all. Right?
No,
I don't really get it. So yeah, it's a bit bizarre to me. It wouldn't have made, and by the way, a couple of nights ago, I don't know whether this will go through or not. If I'm not mistaken, I saw that the Knicks are trying to, I guess, go up against what was done to them a couple of nights
yeah.
ago against the Rockets.
Yeah,
right?
That game's
they're trying to protest that. And the last time that was successful was when Shaq was still playing, I think.
Sounds
I read.
Right, yeah.
So it's a bit of a mess, but if you ask Adam Silver, who's just chilling on the Pat McAfee show, everything's great. Everything's great.
Awesome. Everything is awesome. It's great. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a mess, man. Like, I don't know how they fix it. I threw out a theory a month ago that, you know, it's the fact that there's like a new crop of officials in there. I don't know, man. I don't know how you're supposed to play defense anymore, and it's just a mess that the NBA is in. I do think that at some point here, pretty soon, there is going to be a quality of game conversation that mm-hmm. happens where, you know, how entertaining is it to watch Joel Embiid get to the free throw line 14 times a game or see Trae Young throw his body into somebody and get a foul call every time. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, jerking his head back yep. every single time he gets touched. Like, that's going to upset a lot of people. And I just don't think that, you know, basketball can, when it's flowing, when the ball's moving, it can be such a beautiful game and just a really entertaining product. And, you know, going to the line is the only thing that halts the game completely. And I don't know why they're, I guess it's to get games like we had last night where it's 130 to 125, but I just don't think that the elevated scoring is a good enough result for the product that it seems like we're getting in order to get there.
Yeah.
All like, right. Is it good that we have all of these 30-point scores in the NBA?
And dropping 60 so. And a bunch of different situations. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we will be joined by Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli to discuss the Kings during the Kings Roundtable. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Feels like it's been a while since we've been joined by the Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Brendan Nunes, Frankie Cardicelli. Thank you guys for joining us as always.
Thanks for having us. Has it been a while?
I mean, it was last week, but it was early last week.
Yeah, because it was just you last week, right, Brendan?
I think so. No, you hopped on.
It was last Tuesday.
That's right.
It was
that's
the
right,
day before
right.
we had it.
No, that's
Frankie.
Right.
Frankie, who were the ones in Vegas, right?
you were the guy. How was the trip, fellas? How was the trip? I haven't got a chance to like fully talk about the trip. Was it a good time? You guys had a lot of big-name guests. That was very fun to see.
We did. And, you know, we really just grew the brand a little bit. Got a lot of different pictures. You know, I hang up with Cam Newton, Bobby
Great
Flay.
Great Cam out. Newton picture.
Thank you.
Wait,
thank you very
Bert
much.
Kreischer?
Bert Kreischer.
How is he?
He was outstanding.
That's a really good question.
He was outstanding. We are working through some different things that content is going to have to go in a different platform, but we will get that Bert Kreischer out to you if you really want it. Yeah. We will get it out to you. And now, after the trade deadline, and both of you can say, hey, Alan, you were right, but I'll give you time for that a little bit later as Royce O'Neal goes to the Suns. And look, I feel like Thanos, okay? Look at where this brought you. You couldn't live with your failure. And where did that bring you? Back to me. Enter Marcus Morris on the buyout market.
So I knew that was coming.
Is Marcus Morris in this situation like your Iron Man?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
I don't know about that. No, but I will say, watching last night's game, I did kind of feel that sense of course, a guy that the Kings were linked to knocked down a three at the most. Like, literally, my thought process was, do not let Booker get a shot off. Don't let Kevin Durant get a shot off. Royce O'Neal was open. As soon as the ball found him, I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's one guy you can kind of live with taking a three. Especially like Eric Gordon. If Durant, Booker gets that three, I'm like, that's really going to be a bad situation. Royce O'Neal just knocks down a triple, had a big night for them, four steals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it's just kind of another reminder that the Kings, standing pat, that it's up for debate right now. Was it the right move? It's been 2 years now, I think two calendar years that they haven't made I think Philip Petrusev, Kessler Edwards, and I'm not sure if anyone else has been acquired by the Kings over the past two calendar years, but it's going to be a long conversation that's going to go on for the next couple months and into the summer as well, but a tough loss.
Yeah, were you surprised that the Kings didn't do anything? We haven't got to talk to you since the trade deadline ended.
Me? Oh, yeah, we can start with me, I guess.
Go ahead.
Surprised? No. Not surprised. I think that there's always been a sense around this team and just from people that we've talked to and been around that they have a lot of belief in these guys. And we've seen, again, the internal improvements over the past couple of weeks. They've started to kind of they've waned. I mean, Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter have been playing better, you know, as a collective. But I think when you look at who the Kings are and where they are, and it's kind of surprising when you look at the fact that they are in a better spot in the stand. And from a record standpoint, they're in a better spot. But in the standings, they're worse because all the teams around them have made upgrades. They've gotten better. And by all of them, I mean pretty much every team around them, except for maybe Golden State. But they've had a lot of issues off the court as well, or on the court. Actually, in Draymond Green's case, a lot of issues on the court they've had to work through. But I wasn't surprised they didn't make any moves. I'm just kind of surprised about how quickly things have kind of snowballed as far as the teams that are kind of around them and coming for them. Like the Dallas Mavericks, Kings have fallen behind Dallas. You see the Lakers are playing well. They've made a couple of fringe moves, bringing in Spencer Dinwiddie. We'll see if that makes a huge difference. I don't think it will, but if LeBron and AD are healthy, they're going to be there. The Warriors are the Warriors again. So I'm not surprised, but I'm a little disappointed.
I mean, that's mainly where I'm at too. I think that I don't know how necessarily what level of disappointment. I think that they could have benefited from a Royce O'Neal, for example, or like I thought a Fontecchio, who weirdly went to Detroit, would have made a lot of sense for Sacramento. But I'm not necessarily surprised. I thought that they were in a spot where they didn't need to be hurried. That the biggest thing for this year is De'Aaron taking another jump, is Keegan taking a jump, is we're seeing DeMontis Sabonis be ridiculously efficient, which I think is the development that he's made throughout the course of this season. But everybody locked up except Malik Monk. Anything you did at the offseason, or at the deadline, excuse me, wasn't really going to affect your odds of bringing back Malik Monk. So I don't really think they needed to hurry, and I'm not sure that all these other moves that went around the rest of the conference, like for sure, made these teams that much better. You know, I don't think anybody really jumped a tier because of any moves they made. I think Dallas is a little bit debatable. They really sacrificed a lot of their future to make some of those moves. So while I think they're a better team right now, that could look really weird down the line, and Kings maintain their flexibility. So I get the frustration, but I think maintaining that flexibility, I still think they're in a good spot moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious what you guys think about, I don't want to say a push and pull, but it feels like, in my opinion, the Kings are playing better. Like, it looks, you know, at the start of the year, Kevin Huerter couldn't hit anything. HB couldn't do anything. Keegan even struggled to get his game. Hey, man, I said what I said.
Damn.
And it feels like recently, I mean, you had HB have his revenge tour. Kevin Huerter last night, even though he doesn't, you know, play a ton of minutes, he was 4 of 6, is knocking down threes. Keegan still is struggling to kind of find his footing, but they're playing better, but they're 11-11 since the turn of the new year. How do you guys feel about that? Is it a quality of opponent thing? Like, what? How do you feel about the team, I guess, eyeball test, feeling and looking better, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's a results-based business, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've just been super inconsistent, and I kind of, not that it's an excuse because I think they need to have been better, but I'm curious how much it just being like the definition of the dog days of the season is affecting this group. Like De'Aaron Fox specifically, because I think DeMontis Sabonis has been reliable and efficient, putting up stupid numbers every single night, it feels like. And De'Aaron Fox has been the one that's been a little bit inconsistent. And I think this team is going to go as far as those two guys take them on a nightly basis. And this feels like the time of season where De'Aaron kind of does not relax, but slow down a little bit. And I'm curious to see how that changes after the All-Star break. There's definitely an aspect of, you know, got to take into account the teams that they were playing. And I think they've been really competitive in these games. You know, I feel okay going into tonight's game against Denver, even so, though it's second night of a back-to-back. Like, I think they could beat any team, but they could lose to any team too, as we've obviously seen. It's kind of the same story as last year, really, as we've talked about. So, I mean, I'm curious to see how much, specifically in De'Aaron's case, getting through the All-Star break will, you know, rejuvenate him or help him get a little fresh again.
Yeah, you know, Coach Mike Brown has said that you'll find out what teams really want to make a push in February, because that's when this thing can get a little bit dicey, and that's when teams are going to really up their level of concentration and have that bottom line, because you're out of the dog days at that point. At that point, now it's either go time or go home time. That's what it is. And I'll tell you right now, guys, I am not feeling good about the Kings at all. Not one bit. And I don't know what is going to push them in the right direction. You get a game like last night where, yeah, maybe that's the only team, the Suns, that's the only team that the Kings lose to with the numbers that De'Aaron and Sabonis put up. But that's just the West right now. And now you got to go face the Nuggets in the altitude, and the Nuggets are sitting there saying, we can blow it all out tonight because we got the All-Star game coming up next. We don't have to worry about any back-to-backs or anything like that. I don't know where this team is going to kind of get back. It's not really about getting back on track, right? Because it's really about, can you go to another level that you have not gone to yet this season? Because they have been where they've been all season long. They've been in that fifth seed, and now they're down to, what, the eighth seed? That's who they've been. So my confidence meter is down because they have the fifth hardest schedule to finish out the year, and they will have to play their best basketball just to hang around. I know everybody is within a game or so of each other in that 5 to 8 range or whatever it is, but we're going to learn pretty quickly who this team really is.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, again, just kind of goes with the deadline as well. This is it. This is the team that they're going to have through the end of the season. And I'm looking at their schedule. It's a lot of hills and valleys. It's a lot of win streaks followed by losing streaks. Like, literally, I'm looking at back to January, like a 4-game losing streak followed by a 4-game winning streak. I mean, obviously, they played very well. They won 6 of 8. Now they've lost 4 of 5. It's just they need to find a rhythm as far as not letting these losing streaks snowball. And tonight, if they lose to Denver, another 3-game skid. And then at that point, you go back home, you play San Antonio, and then again, the schedule, we all know it gets horrible. You have the Clippers, Miami, Denver, Minnesota. There's not really a break in the schedule. And I'm looking at the defense again. The defense has fallen. I think they were, the top half of the league a week or two ago. I think they're 15th or 16th. Mm-hmm. They've fallen to 20th. 130 points last night to the Suns. That was really, to me, one of the main things. They just could not seem to get a stop. And again, give credit to Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. They knocked down some insanely difficult shots last night. But letting Eric Gordon get cooking in the first half, like going for 20 first half points, that's insane to me. I mean, that's just not the kind of guy Eric Gordon is anymore. He literally dunked on, was it Sabonis last night? Like, what year is it?
Yeah.
So The defense,
turn back the clock a little.
The defense is still an issue, and I'm looking at that over this last stretch of the season. But we've seen them make internal improvements before. They're going to have to again because no one maybe your savior Marcus Morris will walk into the door, but I don't know if he's going to plug all those holes on defense.
The reason that some of these guys got open shots, and I've kind of gone back and forth with the blitzing. How do you guys feel about the blitzing? Because whether it's Royce O'Neal, hey, you got to live with Royce O'Neal, or you got to live with Eric Gordon later in the game when you're choosing between Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Eric Gordon, even if he's on a heater. We saw the same thing with Grayson Allen. How do you guys feel about the blitzing and whether it helps? Is it working? What do you think?
I think they did a good job of just like showing them different looks throughout the game. And in that fourth quarter, it felt like, some alternating between we're going to blitz this possession, we're going to not blitz this one, just kind of keep them on their toes so they don't really know what's coming. And I think that's the best thing that this team can really do is just not be predictable, really, because we know that they're not the most talented defensively. Like, there's moments Domas is going to get switched on to guys, especially a team like that where they're going small, obviously, and it's going to be a tough matchup, or Devin Booker's going to hunt Malik Monk late in the game, and like things like that are going to happen. But I think that just kind of showing them a lot of variance so they don't know what to expect, again, be unpredictable, I think is probably one of the most important things Kings could do. And I thought they did that in that game. It's weird they put up 125, and I kind of still point towards the offense, but they made 9 threes that game. It's only the fifth game all year they've made 10 or less threes. They've lost every single one of those games.
Yeah.
Like, the team still goes as far as their offense takes them, and I think that defensively, obviously, they have to do enough. They could have done better, but I thought down the stretch, they actually did a good job for the most part, given their personnel, and the Suns were hitting shots, and the Kings kind of weren't, I hate to make it, seem that basic. Again, they put up 125, so I feel kind of crazy sitting here saying they could have scored more, and that would have been the difference, but they didn't make that many threes, really.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, talking about the good old buyout market, we'll also discuss the expectations for the Kings after the All-Star break. Styles and Watkins, Kings Roundtable, Sactown Sports.
This is Sactown Sports.
Brendan Nunes, Frankie Cardicelli, join Styles and Watkins. Thanks to Nate Littlefield, by the way, doing his thing as always. Join us, the Kings Roundtable. Guys, we have a couple texts that I want to get through. This one, we're being asked to help out here. This is from the 916, okay? I need your help, guys. I'm feeling really down with my sports with the Niners, the Oakland A's, and the Sacramento Kings. Please make me feel better. What can I do to change my perspective on this Kings season to make it more palatable as a fan?
Okay, yeah, I can try to put a positive spin on it. So basically, how I view it is, the Kings, like Brendan said, they are set up well, I think, for the long run. Mm-hmm. Like, they have guys under contract. They have two franchise pieces, De'Aaron Fox and Monta Sabonis, under contract. Keegan Murray showing strides. Again, he's been struggling lately. Again, I pulled up his numbers. Doesn't go hand-in-hand with the let's feel better talk, but he's averaging 8 points over the past 7 games. We've seen Keegan come out of these spurts before and play very well. That means he's due. Keegan Murray is due to play well. He's due to come out of this cold stretch and play a better brand of basketball. I think that the Kings, as far as where they are right now in the standings, it was pointed out to me last night when I was laying out the strength of schedule, how the Kings are the fifth hardest strength of schedule. Someone pointed out to me, they've had the fifth hardest strength of schedule all year long. So this is nothing really new to them, which I think is a very good point and very important to note that the Kings, while they have a hard road ahead, they've had a hard road already. And there have been some pretty ugly losses, which could hurt them, but we've seen the Kings turn around and win some games that they quote-unquote shouldn't have won. And again, tonight is another test for the Kings, and it's not going to be easy. You have Denver, who have been the best home team in the West this year. Kings on second time of back-to-back, they've been historically bad. But I think this team is good. They're going to do some things that are going to surprise some people at some point. You have to hope it's sooner than later, but I don't think that the Kings, for losing a game against Phoenix in the fashion they did last night, means that this is a bad team, which last night there was a lot of spiraling going on, a lot of doomsday stuff with the Kings, and kind of like what we're doing right now. And yeah, things are looking a little bleak at the moment, but overall, the Kings, knock on wood, have had good health once again. They have the guys to get it done. Trey Lyles last night wasn't playing. Does that help? Who knows? But You have to hope they stay healthy down the stretch and they can do some good things. But, I mean, I would feel, if I was just taking myself out of what I do now, like, objectively, they're over 500, what, seven games. Mm-hmm. They're in the mix. They're well above the 11th spot in the West. We're not quite there yet as far as feeling like the season's unraveling. We're definitely not there yet.
I mean, I think that even you just look at these last three games, Denver, OKC, Phoenix, and the Kings beat Denver. OKC game was tough. They beat OKC multiple times already this season, though. And you look at that Phoenix game, and Sacramento very clearly had a chance to win that game. You know, there's some calls that Mike Brown definitely was loud about postgame. And typically, I don't complain about calls. I thought those were pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, the two-minute report came out. And
you know, it's all perfect, apparently. Yeah, that's right. You know, sure.
How?
Sure. We believe that.
I don't understand that.
Like, what does marginal mean?
Devin Booker is on his back.
It makes no sense.
We've seen that. We've seen the Kings get called for stuff like that all the time too. We've seen. I think Malik is a guy who really anticipates. You know, he bites on fakes sometimes, and he'll get on people's backs like that, and it gets called. That is not marginal contact if someone's on your back for a moment. Like, if it's a brush by, it doesn't matter. He's on your back.
And what is marginal contact is Keegan barely touching Booker's jersey, and he runs free before the inbound.
It got pulled.
Did it mess with Booker's movement at all?
I'm just saying it got pulled.
But you don't call that in that moment. That's for game.
I didn't even see it until I watched it back. Anyway, but it's the inconsistency between the two.
Agreed.
Right? Either call both or call neither.
Yes.
And whatever. So the Kings have played some really good games this year, and I think they've beaten some really quality teams. You could look at Denver. You could look at OKC. You can look at Minnesota. You can look at Cleveland. And sure, there's some really ugly, gross losses mixed in there, too.
Horrible.
But if you just look at the best version of the Sacramento Kings team, like, you go into the first round, and I think there's a way they can come out of it. Like, that you should feel that the best version of this team could come out of this series.
I want to build on that question. Sorry to throw it back at you two again, but give me one or two things, development points to watch for the rest of this season. If you are a Kings fan who is looking for some sort of positive, give me one or two things that you guys feel like you're looking for. It could even be just, you know, for playoffs, and that you want to see eventually play out for playoff success, or it could be something further development like Keegan and things like that.
That's where I'm at. I mean, as far as the Kings are, like, they did not make a move at the deadline. They did not go get that guy that was supposed to be like either a big name or not. That kind of puts more of an emphasis on where Keegan is, and Keegan has been playing poorly over this recent stretch. They need him to be what he was a few weeks ago as far as a 20-point scorer, a guy who's been a two-way threat. Continues to play solid defense, but they need more from him. Because last night, a night where De'Aaron Fox scores 40, Sabonis has an insane, historic triple-double again. Malik Monk is doing six-man-of-the-year stuff, and you still lose the game. That can't happen. You need someone else to step up. You need somebody else to kind of carry that load. Sometimes it's Kevin Herter, sometimes it's Harrison Barnes, sometimes it's Keegan Murray. None of them really took a step forward and delivered in a way that would have helped the Kings win the game. And again, the bench really was depleted last night a little bit because they have Malik Monk, they have Trey Lyles, who's been playing well. Trey Lyles out. Trey Lyles also, want to add, questionable for tonight's game with an illness. But I'm looking at Keegan. Keegan's my main guy to look at down the stretch, because if he can make that leap and then go into next year running as well, the Kings maybe really have something.
Yeah, Keegan for sure is one of the biggest X factors for this team, and I think De'Aaron's consistency is really big too. You look at the last 22 games, 23 points, 34% from three, right? But then if you go, obviously, beginning of the season prior to that, he was at the 30-point-per-game mark for the first 25, knocking down 40% from three. And I think, obviously, last night in Phoenix, he played a great game, but I think consistency is kind of the next step for him really becoming in that or flirting with the superstar conversation. And again, this is the time of season I think that you can understand a little bit more, but he's got to be locked in the rest of the year after All-Star break, in my mind. And then the other one I would point at is just also finding some consistency and regularity with the rotations. Right. You know, Mike Brown talks all year long about, he says he learned a lot of this from Steve Kerr, that he's going to give different guys opportunities throughout the season because it keeps them engaged. It keeps them working hard in their individual workouts, thinking, I never know when I could get put in this game. I genuinely could be at any point. Well, as the year wind down, and we get closer to postseason, you better just figure out what your rotation is.
Right.
And I still think there's an aspect of you're going to try things here and there. Last night, no Trey Lyles, Sasha Vezenkov, Kessler Edwards makes sense to give some minutes here and there. You want to show Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, different looks. So I'm not saying run the exact same guys every single night, but figure out who your backup one is and figure out who your backup five is. And they, again, they can be situational, but for the most part, I think this is the time of year where, you know, it shouldn't matter. Like, we got to keep guys engaged. I get that. And I think that's good logic, but this is the time of year. Figure out what your rotation is that you're going to roll into postseason. It's the time of year last year where we saw Alex Len start to get a little bit more consistent.
Yeah, and to that point, Alex Len's back in the rotation right now after we were sitting here, I think a week ago, wondering why did he fall out? What did he do to deserve to fall out of the rotation? There's not really an answer. I think that you're right, though, Brendan. I think finding consistency in the rotation, because in every sport, I think that consistency and getting in a rhythm is important, whether it's baseball, being in the same spot in the lineup, basketball, getting consistent minutes. I mean, you need to have your guys feel comfortable. And right now, we don't really know what we're going to see from the Kings from a rotational standpoint. Sometimes we see Keon Ellis come check in instead of Davion Mitchell. Sometimes we see Kessler Edwards come in instead of Sasha Vezenkov when he was healthy. So it is a matter of, I want to see the Kings kind of have a consistent 1-8, which could be tough with some guys like Trey Lyles and Sasha going through what they're going through. But I think that is a very good point as far as the Kings finding that, because, again, a lot of teams that you find in the playoff race have that consistency.
Well, and look, here's the other thing. People have talked about the injury luck last season and how the Kings got pretty lucky. Nobody's talking about that because the Kings haven't been playing as consistently, but the Kings have been pretty lucky this year. I mean, they had some things earlier in the season, and now Vezenkov's out and Trey Lyles might miss a game here or there. But you can't really complain, which I think this is not being optimistic anymore, which I think is not the best look, because there's nothing to say, well, we missed De'Aaron for 2 weeks or we missed Keegan or whoever for 2 weeks. Before we get to a break, just as far as De'Aaron and the curious case of his shoulder, guys, I've said that I'm not speaking on that behind a microphone or anywhere on any of my platforms until somebody says something. How do you think people should, if you're watching De'Aaron grab his shoulder essentially every other game, but nothing is being reported on it, because when we go in to those meetings or even when they're away, nobody is saying anything. Do we just talk about the fact that he's grabbing his shoulder, but nothing is being reported? Because I know fans are really confused about all of that.
I mean, I've asked a couple people that they say he's fine. I mean, they say it's the bumps and bruises, and if he was hurt, he'd be listed or he'd be out. Like, they wouldn't be playing with that at this point in the year. And I think a lot of guys kind of deal with things. We see Domantas Sabonis grab a different body part every game. Like,
it's very true.
He really goes through a lot of these guys go through a lot of things that we don't always know about or hear about. I think De'Aaron's more under a microscope because he has been struggling. And, like, as far as consistency goes, yeah, the Kings are healthy, but last year the Kings were consistently just good. Like, De'Aaron Fox didn't have any cold stretches. Kevin Huerter was pretty good throughout the whole year. He had a rough middle of a season, I guess I would add him. That's not a great example. But Keegan Murray, pretty consistently good knocking down threes. They've had so much inconsistency from different players. They haven't all been just kind of dialed in. And when they are, we know it. We've seen it happen before, like against Denver. When guys are all going in and knocking down shots, the Kings are super hard to beat. And we've seen it only a handful of times this year. So when De'Aaron's struggling, he's under a microscope. And is he dealing with some physical things? They're minor, if anything. But again, I think it's a matter of getting to the All-Star break, having that week to recharge. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think that that is a mindset the Kings are having right now, is get these guys to the All-Star break, have a week to get off your feet and rest mentally and physically, and then recharge for the second half.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Sactown Sports Kings Insiders, we're talking buyout market. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.